This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much for joining us this episode 5 of our series Back to Basics, Understanding the Essentials of Islam. In our last few episodes, we were talking about the evidences for the existence of a creator, the existence that there is a God, that there is a supreme being. We spoke about some of the arguments of the atheists, and we've responded to them, alhamdulillah. We spoke about the necessity, the fundamental belief in the existence of a creator, that the originator of the universe. And we also spoke about the concept of why agnosticism, the belief in a creator and not a religion, is also illogical and irrational. So today, inshallah, we'll talk now about who is this creator and what is the nature of this creator from the Islamic perspective. So when you look at different religions, from the Hindu religion, from Christianity, African or tribal religions, different religions and beliefs have different concepts as to who this creator is, as to his nature. So while the majority of the religions of the world believe that there is one creator, the concept of this creator, the understanding of this creator is different. And therefore we ask, what is the nature of Allah? What is the nature of God from an Islamic perspective? And so we begin and we ask, so who is Allah and what does Islam say about him? One way to understand who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to look at some of the names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given himself. The names that Allah has given himself are an indication of his attributes, an indication of his essential fundamental nature. From an Islamic perspective, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given himself 99 names. Although these are not limited, it's not limited to these 99, but they are 99 names of perfection that he has labeled himself with. And each name is an evidence or is an indication of an attribute of his nature. So for example, of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he is Al-Khaliq, the creator, the one that originated everything, that he is the ultimate and the supreme creator of all that is in creation, that he is Ar-Rabb. The most common name that you find in the Quran after the name Allah itself is Ar-Rabb. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, the Lord. And the word Rabb in the Arabic language implies the one who owns and controls and sustains everything, the one on which everything belongs to, everything depends on. He is Ar-Rabb. Of his names is Al-Wahid, Al-Ahad, the one and the only, the one that is unique, who has no partner, who has no resemblance to him. He is As-Samad, the one that is completely distinct from his creation, is independent from his creation. As we said, that if the creator was dependent on anything, then we were to ask, then who made this Allah? Who sustains him? But he's As-Samad. He is free of the needs. He's free of any kind of need or any kind of dependency. That he is distinct from his creation. That he has no likeness and resemblance unto him. And in fact, his name Allah, the term that is used most commonly from a Quranic perspective, what does the word Allah mean? The word ilah, and it's a very important thing to understand, many of us as Muslims, we use the term Allah, yet we don't understand what the name Laftul Jalala, what this name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually means. The term ilah, ilah means a deity. A deity is an object of worship. So Allah is al-ilah, the one and only object of worship, the one and only deity, the only one that is deserving of worship. And as we go through the series, we'll find that the central fundamental concept of Islam, that if you were to read the Quran cover to cover and you were to extract one lesson, what is the primary message? So the Quran speaks about many things. The ultimate message of the Quran, the ultimate message of the religion of Islam, the thing that makes Islam different to all other religions, is that it doesn't confirm that there's a creator. All religions believe this. What it confirms is that he is Allah. He is the only one deserving of worship. Whereas you look many different religions in the world, they believe in a creator, but yet they worship Jesus, they worship the ancestors, they worship idols and statues and pious people, Buddha, they worship the graves of saints. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this religion of Islam, the concept of it is that there should be no ilahs with him. There should be no intermediaries with him. That every single person has a direct relationship with his maker, has a direct relationship with the Lord of the whole of the universe, the one who sustains and nourishes, the one that replenishes. You have a direct relationship with him. You just simply have to raise your hands and you have access to him. This is really what this religion of Islam is all about. And it is its strongest and most compelling evidence about this religion is this message that you and Allah have a unique bond without the need of an intermediary. So these are of his names, but the attribute that comes through the most, you'll find in the Quran, Allah will speak about, we know that the Creator has to have complete and perfect knowledge and wisdom, that he has complete might and control, that the mountains and the oceans and the stars, all of them are subservient to him. So he has power, that he has grandeur, that he has beauty, that he has majesty. All these are of his attributes and the qualities that is internal to him. But the attribute which is most prevalent in him, the attribute which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stresses about himself, if you were to ask, so we have a Creator, how do I understand this Creator? What should I think when I think of this Creator? Then the thing that we should think about the most is the attribute which he mentions himself over and over in the Quran, and that is the attribute of rahmah, the attribute of mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so if one were to open the Quran and the very first thing you would find is in the name of Allah, it begins with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The beginning is in the name of Allah, the Creator, the Sustainer, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. The first quality that he wants you to know about him, the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to know about himself is that he's Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman is the term that which refers to the one who is at his default. Essentially, within himself, he is merciful. That everything in creation is encompassed by his mercy. That whenever he does anything, he does so with mercy, with compassion, with love. And then he's Ar-Rahim, which is an active form of mercy. So both words refer to mercy. Rahman is a passive, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a default state, he is merciful. And Ar-Rahim is the one who when he acts with mercy. And when he interacts with his creation, he interacts with mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about himself that he has taken the name Rahim from the womb of the mother. Now the womb, in Arabic, the uterus, is called the Rahim. And Allah says, I have taken my name Rahim, Ar-Rahim, from the womb. Why? Because the uterus of the mother, it protects and covers and loves and has mercy on that child from all angles and all directions. It is the safest place in the world for that baby. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that is how he is to his creation. To understand his mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when he created the creation, he had created mercy into 100 pieces. One part he had sent down into his creation, so that every single act of kindness, every act of goodness, even the kindness you would find a mother animal having for its baby animal, from the beginning of time until the end of time, all of that is a part of that one piece of mercy. And yet he has kept 99 for himself. This is the very first attribute Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to know of himself. You open the first chapter of the Quran. Praise be Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to the Lord, Creator, Sustainer of all of creation. Who is he? Who is this Lord? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. He is the most merciful, the most gracious, the most kind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a number of other names that he has given himself. Of the names is Al-Latif, the one who is gentle, the one that is soft when it comes to his creation. Al-Wadud, the one that is deeply affectionate, he's loving, that he is Al-Harim, he's forbearing, that sin is done against him over and over, yet he doesn't take vengeance on his own account. That for those who do commit sin, he is Al-Ghafoor and Al-Ghafar, the one that forgives and he protects the one that causes sin, he protects them from the consequences of that sin. He is At-Tawwab, the one that is ever returning, no matter how many times you stray from him, he is continuously coming back to you in terms of his creation. He is Al-Afu, the one that if you come to him, then he wipes the slate clean. There's no baggage. He completely removes sin and mistake and wrongdoings. He is Shakur, the one that is very grateful, very appreciative of the good things that his creation does for his sake. So this is your Lord. And subhanAllah, the times that we live and when we speak about agnosticism, many people will say, yes, our natural fitrah
our natural humanity necessitates that we believe that there is a creator. But they would say, I don't believe in a religion because there's nothing that gives me a relationship with this creator. Because many people, you know, in life that logically we believe in him. Our minds believe that there must be a creator, but our hearts are not connected to a creator. And these, subhanAllah, of the ways in which we get to have a bond with Allah, a bond with our creator, is to know his names. When you understand who who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and you understand his names, then you are drawn closer to him. You are drawn closer to him in terms of his majesty. Of his mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are many verses in the Quran that Allah speaks about his mercy. He says, and my mercy embraces all things. In Surah Al-A'raf, Allah says to his creation that every creature, every atom, every particle in creation is enveloped, is encompassed by my mercy. Even the worst of the worst, even the sinner, even the criminal that's in jail right now, even Iblis himself, Allah says, my mercy encompasses all of my creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says of himself that your Lord has prescribed for himself mercy. كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ, that he has made mercy compulsory on him, that it is compulsory on him that when he does something out of mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so that if any of you does evil in ignorance and then repents and does righteous deeds to the weight of an atom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove that person from Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith, O son of Adam, you have committed sin upon sin and I have forgiven you and I don't mind. And he said, O my servant, he has committed a sin and he has known that he has a Lord and he turns to his Lord for forgiveness. So the sinner comes back to Allah. No matter how many times he sins, Allah says that my slave has committed a sin, but he has returned to me and acknowledged the sin, so I've forgiven him. And then he continues, and then my servant commits a sin again and he repents and he knows that he has a Lord who forgives. He acknowledges that I forgive. So he repents and I have forgiven him. And then he continues, Allah says 3-4 times the sinner has sinned and he has come back to me, so I have forgiven him because he acknowledges I am a Lord that is merciful. So then Allah says, so do what you wish for what I have forgiven you. O son of Adam, sin, if you commit sin and you commit sin upon sin, but you return to me, then I will guarantee you that you will have forgiveness. That the forgiveness of Allah is guaranteed for the one who returns back to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his infinite mercy, he says, O son of Adam, as long as you call upon me and you put your hope in me, I have forgiven you for what you have done and I don't mind. O son of Adam, if your sins were to reach the clouds of the sky and then you would come to seek my forgiveness, you've spent your whole life away from me, neglecting me, not obeying me, not submitting to me. You were not a submitter. But now you wish to come to me towards the end of your life when your hair is grey and you're about to die. You come to me now in such a state. And your sins, the evils you have done in this world, reaches the level of the sky. But you were to ask of me a forgiveness, then surely I will forgive you. O son of Adam, if you were to come to me, and this is on the day of resurrection, with sins that are so much that they fill the world, the entire the planet Earth, fill it with sins. But you meet me on that day and you did not associate a partner with me. You did not take a god other than me. You did not worship someone besides Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then I will come to you with a world filled with mercy, filled with forgiveness. That this, your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is compassionate and loving and caring. Many times and we must say this from an Islamic perspective, many of us at times, we never hear about the mercy and the kindness of Allah. We hear the punishment, we hear about the do's and the don'ts, we hear about this religion in terms of rules. Rather, the very first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to tell you, before he tells you worship him or don't worship him, the first thing he says is that I am Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The first thing I want you to know is that I am merciful and I am kind and I am loving. This is who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fully understand his mercy, a story which would touch our heart when we think of this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our prophet, he comes to a village where a lady, she thought she had lost her son. She had a little child and she thought this child had died. And she looks frantically, where is this child? And she believed he had died. And then all of a sudden, out of the ruins, out of the chaos, she sees a boy standing there. And so she rushes towards him and she grabs him and she hugs him and she squeezes him tight. And the Prophet ﷺ looks at this lady hugging her, this mother hugging her child, full of love and mercy. And then the Prophet says to his Sahaba, Can you look at this lady? Can you imagine that this lady would ever cast this child into Jahannam? And the Sahaba, the companion, said, no, by Allah, there's no way this lady, there is nothing that could happen which will cause this lady to put her own child in the fire. So the Prophet ﷺ said, so too is Allah more reluctant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us more, and He is more reluctant to cast His creation into the fire, into Jahannam. If we truly understood who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in terms of His mercy, if we truly had a relationship with our Lord as we should have, then as the famous tabi'i, the famous scholar Hassan al-Basri said, that you would be more comfortable, more at ease, more contented with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judging you on the day of resurrection than your own mother. Because this Allah loves you more than your mother. He has more mercy and care and love for you than your own mother, subhanallah. And this is our religion, is about acknowledging the mercy, the kindness, and the grandeur, and the greatness, and the power, and the might, and the punishment of this creator. The uniqueness, the oneness, the eternality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is really what our religion is all about. When you understand who He is and you understand our relationship with Him, there is nothing but submission for Him. There is nothing but Islam. And this is why we are Muslims, because we submit to Him fully. Because whatever He says, sam'an wa ta'an, we hear and we obey. Whatever He commands, we obey. Whatever He forbids, we stay away. We do so out of love and hope and fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our relationship with him, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh my servant, He gives us advice. Allah speaks to us and He says, oh my servant, oh my creation, oh sons of Adam, I have forbidden oppression on myself. I have made it forbidden for me to oppress any of my creation, and I have made it forbidden for you to oppress each other, so do not oppress each other. Oh my servant, all of you are astray, every single one on earth, that you are lost, you are searching, you have no purpose. All of you are astray except for those whom I have guided. So seek my guidance of me and I shall guide you. Oh my servants, all of you are hungry, all of you are in need of food. Except for those who I feed, so seek food from me alone and I shall feed you. O my servants, all of you are naked, except for those who I have clothed, so seek clothing from me and I shall clothe you. O my servants, you sin by night and by day. You continuously sin and do wrong and do evil and do harmful things. Night and day you do so. And I forgive all sins. I can forgive all those sins. So seek, ask me alone for forgiveness, and I guarantee I shall forgive you. O my servants, you will not attain harming me. Allah says, the Creator says to us, this weak creation, sometimes we think we are grand and sometimes we think we are completely independent. We're not in need of Allah. Allah says to you and me, O my servants, you will not attain harming me so as to harm me. And you will not attain benefiting me. No matter what you do, you cannot benefit me either. I do not need you so as to benefit me. O my servants, were the first of you, the very first person, and the last of you, and all the people and the jinn and all of creation, if they, all the creation together, were as pious as the most pious of hearts of any of you, and you were all on that level of piety, it will not benefit and increase the kingdom of Allah in anything. Our worship, our submission to Him does not benefit Him, does not increase Him. And therefore Allah says, oh my servants, were the first of you until the last of you, the humans, the jinn, all of you, were to have the most wicked of hearts, you were the most evil of creations, then this would not diminish the kingdom of Allah. It will not harm Allah in the least. Allah says, oh my servants, were the first of you and the last of you, the humans of you and the jinn of you, to raise up in one place and make a request of me. You were to ask of Allah, and I were to give everyone what he requested, and he would satisfy the needs and the wants of every single creation. Then Allah says, after he had done that, and he had satisfied everybody's needs, then that would not decrease what I have. It will not decrease Allah at all, any more than a needle decreases from the ocean when you dip it into the ocean. O my servants, it is but your deeds, Allah says, the purpose of life and the purpose of why we are on this world and ultimately the end. Allah says, oh my servants, it is but your deeds that I will judge upon you, and then I will reward you or punish you based on that. So let him who finds good praise Allah, and let him who finds other than that blame only himself. So this hadith, this narration where Allah speaks to us, he confirms the essence of our relationship with Him, that we are in need of Him, that we are constantly returning to Him, that we sin and we make mistakes, but He will constantly forgive us so long as we acknowledge Him and turn to Him. And then ultimately a day will come, whether we live this life in submission, we will go back to Him in the life after this and will be answerable for our deeds. And this, subhanAllah, this, as we've mentioned today, it's just a beginning understanding of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and our relationship with Him. And everything in Islam, the next steps we talk about, we'll talk about salah, we'll talk about fasting, we'll talk about hajj, every single aspect of Islam, every rule that you find in the Sharia, what to eat, what not to eat, what to wear, what not to wear, all of this is about acknowledging Allah, about living a life which is pleasing to Allah, so that we can return to Him in the life after this, and so that we can be close to Him and reside in Jannah near to Him. And this is the ultimate success. We continue inshallah with the next episode. Jazakallah khair. Shukran so much. For any questions, concerns or comments, westmuhammad@gmail.com. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.